He is Justin Davis, user experience designer and educator extraordinaire.
We will see about that. He is Aubrey Goodman, web services dev, mobile dev, and the Duke. You know, the Duke of development. That's what I think I'm going to call
you
now. It's I think I may have used that before.
You have. I still
great.
Like
so I'm all
Sultan.
Great. So I'm already repeating intros. This is a fantastic thing. And thank you guys so much for being here. Welcome in. This is a podcast that we call Distilled. Great to have you here. You can find us online at distilledpodcast.com or distilledradio.com. It's just whatever flavor you would like to go with. Also on Twitter at Distilled Radio.
Correct.
On Podomatic, on iTunes, just search for Distilled. You can find me on Twitter at JWD2A. And you can find Aubrey at Aubrey Goodman.
That's right. And we're joined today by J.J. Roberts of the Tampa Bay Innovation Center. J.J., you want to introduce yourself? Tell us a little bit about what you
do. J.J. Roberts, and I'm with the Tampa Bay Innovation Center. And officially, I'm the client service manager charged with helping people get started in their startups.
Awesome. So what kind of startups do you have at the Innovation Center?
We have quite a few. We try to focus on high tech. However, we stretch that a little bit when it seems appropriate, especially with veterans or someone that has some unique characteristics or some unique capabilities. We go anywhere from a company that is specifically trying to assist quadriplegics, so with their to expand their world by working with being able to help them communicate with different devices and get around their homes, all the way to someone that has created an injection molded cap for helping people open eyedropper bottles.
Wow.
Wow. That's cool.
That is cool.
It's interesting. It's interesting.
Yeah, that's really neat. Now, for those of you who are in the Tampa Bay area, probably I would say the majority of our listenership. All three of you who live in the Tampa Bay area. That's the three of us.
Present company included.
That's right. Yeah, included. The Tampa Bay Innovation Center is across the bay. If you're in Tampa, it's across the bay. It's in Pinellas County, off Bryan Dairy and Starkey.
Correct, between Starkey and Belcher.
Yeah, that's right. In the StarTech building,
correct.
If I recall correctly,
correct.
In my mini trips out to the beach.
Perfect.
Down that road.
A wizard.
I don't know, just a lot of drunken trips to the beach. But so it sounds like to me then, there's a lot of stuff that you guys are working with that have actual physical products, not just apps and that type of thing. You know, here at Wave, there's a lot of, it's mainly in the software world. We have one, Marble, who's doing some hardware work as well. Sounds like you're doing a lot of hardware and physical
absolutely.
Stuff.
I think Wave is definitely geared a little bit more towards the software community, towards the app community, and we're geared more towards, I guess, a little bit hardware-oriented, still software, but more, I guess, deeper business. I mean, that may not make sense, but beyond the app, if you will.
Yep. Mm.
And we try to welcome all companies. Unfortunately, you guys are going to figure out that I'm pretty blunt and upfront with everything that I think. So
perfect.
You're
in the right place
to improve on what we do. I don't think that the Tampa Bay area has generally been very conducive to startups, and we hope to be able to add to that and make it better.
Yeah, let's talk about that for a minute. Why do you think that is? What do you think we have to do better?
I think it's, first of all, I think the reason it's not good is kind of a lack of structure and a lack of working together. A little bit about my background. Mm. I've had three startups. Fortunately, through the good and the bad, I sold all three. So that
Excellent.
Was pretty good. And recently, 2011, I participated in Y Combinator as a member of a company that went through Y Combinator.
Oh, no kidding.
Completely different in the San Francisco Bay Area than it is here. And most of it is relative to helping each other, assisting people, giving back to the community, very proactive in coaching. And I think that we leave it to the startups to come to you for questions or to
right.
find their own path, if you will. And at Y Combinator particularly, that was not allowed. They partnered with you, assisted you, and aggressively worked together to make your business a success. And I don't think we do that at all here.
Really? Mm. I was going to ask you what the biggest differences you've seen between, say, accelerators here, incubators, that kind of thing, and Y Combinator. And that sounds like one of the biggest ones, is that they don't just sort of say, here you are, we have some resources you can access, but here we are, we're going to work with you
That's exactly
along
correct.
The entire thing.
Exactly. We had meetings in San Francisco, Y Combinator. We had meetings every week with a group of Y Combinator representatives. We had goals, milestones, and if we didn't meet them, then it wasn't get your hand slapped, you're bad guys. It was who do you need to fill out the team so we can continue to achieve the goals you've set.
Wow.
And they would bring in a mentor or somebody. I don't really ever remember them hiring anybody, but there was a lot of networking and a lot of people that would come in to help you where you had that gap or that void. And yeah. it was extremely helpful because it kept you on track. It made you do things on time. And you're able to introduce your product a lot quicker.
Wow. That's really interesting. I've never been through Y Combinator, and I'm trying to think. I mean, aside from Kevin Hale and the WooFoo guys, I don't know anybody else.
Todd Goldberg.
Been through. Todd Goldberg, I guess. Did they go through Y
Combinator? Recent class. Yeah, they're in there now.
Okay, gotcha. I thought they were 500 startups. Gotcha.
I think.
Yeah.
We may need to issue an errata for that.
Yeah, we may have to check that fact for a second, but you might be right about that. Yeah,
fact-checking is usually optional on this show.
Yeah, that's really interesting.
Well, the other thing that they did out there was they had lots of dinners where they would share with each other. And so every Wednesday, I think, possibly Tuesday, there would be a dinner where every one of the participating companies in Y Combinator would come and eat dinner. And it was just a big sloppy meal on picnic benches. But everybody came, talked about their problems, discussed the issues, asked where they needed help. And it was a big, big sharing community. Yep. And it was always some big multimillionaire startup like someone here at Wave or Tampa Bay Innovation Center that was, you know, hit it rich big time after coming from nowhere. And it was very interesting and very helpful, and it just the motivation and the enthusiasm never stopped.
Yep, yep, absolutely. So it sounds like then that expands out also to the whole San Francisco community in general as well.
Correct. That's correct.
Yeah. So I was going to ask what the big differences are between the two Bay Areas, if you will.
I think that the big differences is, number one, that they've had some big successes, so they've got lots of money, and they've got lots of entrepreneurs, or lots of successes. We don't. But also, the people that have succeeded here, that do have money, don't give back as much as the people out there. And I guess you have to consider there are multiple levels of people at Google that have been successful. Here, that level stops at about maybe two or three. And so, whereas they might have 200 people that are multimillionaires, we might have 20.
Yeah, it's just a very small handful.
The pool of people is smaller, but still, there's nobody here directing that, helping that, encouraging that, kind of moving it forward.
Mm. I want to expand out the scope of the we in what we're talking about here to just enough to include Sarasota area.
Absolutely.
And I wonder if you have met Jesse Bider.
I have not met.
Okay. He runs... I don't know exactly what it is that he runs down there, but it's related to this sort of space. And I know that he's very excited about getting more people into, you know, building tech companies and getting more awareness and more community on it as well. I think, and again, with the fact checks, I think he has like sold some very big company and has like $500 million and just sitting around and like bought a big building down there in downtown with the sole purpose to essentially gut it, replace it with businesses, residences, like one sort of, I don't know, kind of like what, is it Envy Labs is in like a 10-story building in Orlando, right?
Right, that's right.
And they
20-story building. 20,
yeah, so it's like a big building there. They're trying to kind of condense everything into one building and say, here, you know, if everybody is in this building, you don't have to be on the same floor or, you know, whatever it is. But by having that critical density, you know, they're able to do some really interesting things in the Orlando space. And I think Jesse is working on that in the Sarasota area. And I like to see that stuff happen more and more.
Those things are awesome. They have to exist or else we're not going to succeed. We being Tampa Bay area and startups.
Well, and let's talk about that for a minute, and we can get to the contentious part of the podcast.
contentious part.
I've long been a proponent of density. I've always thought that if you have a lot of people who are in technology working in and around near each other every day, that that breeds faster innovation. It creates more startups because you have people who meet and they go out for lunch, they have beers after work, whatever
they
do.
They farm off an idea at lunch.
Right. Yeah, exactly. And that's what you see over in Orlando with Envy Labs and the tower down the middle of Orlando. Mm-hmm. And I think you see in these other cities, you see these clusters of tech companies that all have offices very, very close to each other. Is that what you saw in San Francisco as well?
Yes. I mean, absolutely. But the thing that I think they also had was a direction. And I'm not so sure that having people together, first of all, yes, it's absolutely valuable, absolutely needed to have people around working together, going out to breweries, having discussions, you know, all of that stuff is critical and present in San Francisco.
Yeah.
But there was beyond that a direction that they took those people. So they didn't just let them meander and wander around and learn on their own and share. Mm. There was somebody that had been there and done that and actually brought direction to the table. And so you can talk all day long with 10 creative people and come up with better software ideas and better direction and better planning. But if you don't have a direction, a focus, and a place to go,
that's right,
then it may never become a business. And
that's
so I think we probably create some great things here, but creating great businesses, I don't think we do very well.
Yeah, I think that's accurate. And
agreed.
I think that's another point that I've often thought about regarding this area as well, is that places like San Francisco, Boston, other big Austin maybe as well, have a layer of leadership who've sort of done it, who play an active role in mentoring the people who are trying to do it and don't know what the hell they're doing yet, right? And helping them figure it out, right?
Right.
And there's a little bit of a vacuum of leadership in this town. I mean, where are all the people who have done it who are helping all the others who want to, right?
I agree.
It's 100%. A little blind leading the blind here.
100%. I agree with you. Absolutely. Mm. Yeah. And it's been that way for 10 or 15 years.
Yeah.
And I think that the venture capitalists, from what I've been told, have got a real bad taste in their mouth because there wasn't that leadership and they sort of invested in companies and there weren't a lot of results. And so they're very, very iffy about giving more money.
Right.
Until that leadership appears.
Right.
So
yeah.
Do you think the leadership exists here but then leaves for some place like San Francisco where they feel more of that peer kinship, where here they're isolated and they're the ones, you know, going out and trying to build a community, but they're you know, not the only ones, basically.
I have to believe that some of that leadership exists here in our area. But you also have to, or again, this is all my opinion from being in high-tech startup world for 30 years.
Yeah.
In San Francisco, it's like it's a kudo. It's a real plus to be part of that community and to be helping and to be giving back. And here, if you come out and volunteer, it's like, well, who cares? You know what?
Right.
I mean, what kind of pat on the back does some guy that's made a fortune at Jabil come in? What does he get? Nothing. I mean, nobody even really cares. And
right.
It's different. You volunteer out there, and there were always dinners, functions, things that you could go to that made you feel good. I don't think we make any of the people feel good about giving back here. And so we have the leadership. I just don't think that we address it very well.
So is it an incentive thing then for the people who have had a successful exit and, you know, for them to stick around and not just go fuck off to an island somewhere?
Possibly. I don't really think people leave here to go somewhere else. I just think that they kind of become comfortable in what they've achieved and go off on their own. Anyway, you guys know it's stressful doing a startup.
Yep. Yeah.
It's difficult. And most people, me included, you get a real passion and you get a real, you know, burning to help. And if the startup fails, I mean, you fail. You feel like you failed. And, to fail 10 times again is difficult. And so it has to feed on itself, and I think we've kind of put ourselves into a corner where somebody has to step up and say, I don't care if I fail or not, I'm going to help. And go out there and gather up volunteers and say, damn it, let's do it.
Yeah.
I love that.
Interesting. I wonder how it's a cycle, right? I mean, it's
it is, absolutely.
Yeah, and you have to find a break in it somewhere.
And if you think about us, and I can only speak about the Tampa Bay Innovation Center, and I'll probably get in trouble, but we were not a very good incubator. I mean, what should you get from an incubator? Well, we tried to give and we tried to coach, but we were not very proactive. Accelerator. Do we really have an accelerator here that's going to pitch in $50,000 for a 6% equity and guarantee a line of credit for another $50,000?
Right. No.
No, we don't.
No.
And so I came into it to Tanya saying, we're not a good incubator, and there are no accelerators in this area. If you want to jump up to the table, then let's do that, but let's make the commitment to do that. And so we're building a prototyping group, the software group that I talked to you about. We tried to meet with some software guys to say, we want you to give 4 hours a month.
Yep.
And it's more in direction of development, not coding. We don't want you to code. We don't want you to do anything you shouldn't do.
Right.
What we hope to give you in return is some sharing and some introductions. Mm-hmm. So you may meet 10 potential startups, and by just working together, coming to these dinners we're doing, coming to different things, then you may meet somebody that you want to partner with. And so we're trying to do the incubator level. We're very proactive in our coaching. I guess this is a sales pitch. I probably shouldn't do it. But anyway, we're very proactive in our coaching.
Please do.
Every client has to be coached an hour and a half a week, and they have to have guidelines. And
that's awesome. I think that kind of rigor is absolutely required. You have to do that.
It is. I believe it is, and I am absolutely not an organized guy. I love to party. I love to play. But the Y Combinator thing, even after three startups, we sort of mishmashed back and forth and did pretty good. But, you know, the Y Combinator thing put in place what it really takes to make multiple startups aggressive.
Yeah.
And that's why they're better than we are.
Yeah, and they're obviously successful, right?
Absolutely. They're, $10 million in, 2005 and over $7 billion now. I'd say that's pretty successful.
No kidding. No kidding. You know, it's funny, and you hear people all the time say this, and this is a little bit of a pet peeve of mine. I understand where people are coming from when they say this, but I get a little irritated at it. I hear a lot of excuses. I hear a lot of, well, if there was just more money here, then it would be easier. If there was just more da-da-da. But the fact of the matter is there's not going to be money here until we actually do something that deserves money to move here, right?
You're correct. The incubators are not as good as we think we are, and the startups are not as good as they think they are.
Right.
There is money here. You just have to have a good story. And the thing for all you startups out there, if you happen to be listening, more than three of you, you know, the thing that nobody has here is good teams. I mean, before we went through Y Combinator, they forced us to fill out the team.
Interesting.
And they didn't care how much company you gave away or how you did it, but you had to come out there with a complete team.
Right.
Because it's a team that wins, and people here are still very, well, we're two software guys and we can make it on our own. Well, they would never be accepted into Y Combinator.
Yeah, that doesn't fly.
So teams are critical, and I don't think that startups here do a very good job of creating a team for their startup.
I think you're absolutely right. I've personally faced that among multiple startups that I've been involved in. I'm not going to say that any of them has failed yet, but I'm also not prepared to say that any of them has succeeded yet. But yeah, just this feeling that sometimes, I mean, in my experience, it's that the founders say, we know what we're doing, we're going to do this our way, we're going to hire somebody who's like the most junior guy we can get like super, super cheap, you know, get the lowest of the low. And I'm thinking, why are you doing this? Why are you not giving me the right to build the team? Like, if you wanted to build a team of technologists, you don't ask the biz dev to run, you know, interviewing and all that. They're going to come in with like a bunch of hustler devs. That's what's going to happen.
That's exactly right.
And that's ends up what happening, or that ends up being what happens because of that kind of trickle down mentality of, you know, the guy who has no experience making all the decisions, but because he thinks he runs the show because he has all of the ideas. And you're absolutely right about the team. I think team really cuts down on that attitude a lot. The more people you have on the team, the more you feel like it's not just you doing it. And so then you share the burden, but you also share the responsibility and you share the pride. So if you can open up and allow a team to form and to work together in a meaningful way, then it really helps everybody. And it dials back the egos. It amps up the skill, and the talent intersection is really a feat to behold if and when it happens. It just
agreed 100%. I agree 100%.
So how do we catalyze the formation of those teams?
You know, I don't, I don't know. And it's difficult because also to get in trouble. In spite of what we say, I mean, we all want startups under our belt. We all want to pick startups and mm-hmm. do good. And so working together as a universal incubator throughout Tampa Bay, I think, is going to be a very difficult challenge. Maybe impossible.
Yeah.
But it's also not happening in San Francisco. They're all individual, and they're all very competitive about mm-hmm. how they go about it. I mean, Y Combinator competes for the best companies just like the other ones.
Sure, right.
So I don't have an answer. One comment on your team thing. Imagine how difficult it is to pick your wife. Well, it's... Or significant other. I mean, it's the same thing.
That's right.
Picking your team for your business. And
you
so it's hard to do. And everybody, if I had a dollar for every time somebody said, well, I've got this friend who can do marketing, I'd be a billionaire. But that may not be who you need. They may be your friend, but they may know jack about marketing. So it's hard to pick that person to share your company with. And I don't think we do a good job of helping there either. I don't think we provide introductions or...
It's interesting about that. It's funny you mentioned this because as I think back, I do a lot of client work. I work with a lot of clients, and I work with a lot of startups, helping them do user experience design work. And I've seen so many startups that not only don't have a team, they don't even know who should be on it. Yeah. They don't even have... If you
That's
said,
the worst part.
Who should you hire? They go... I don't know. I guess a developer, and it's like, it's like, what kind of, what are you doing, right? I mean, that's a problem too. Is first starting the conversation at the most basic level and say, what does a startup team look like? What are all the pieces that you have to have in order to make this thing work? Yeah. And now, where do you find those people? How do you vet them? All this kind of thing, right?
Can we take the overly simplified startup weekend approach and say the minimum you need is a hacker, a hustler, and a hipster? So you need a developer, you need a designer, and you need a business analyst.
We have to start somewhere, and I think that's as good a start as any.
Yeah.
People should look.
It at least
like
is a
that.
Framework, right? It's at least something you can start with, and you can go, okay, you know, at least we all are speaking the same language. And so now we can at least have a conversation and say, do I have the right hackers? Do I have the right hipsters, right? As opposed to, do I have the right
gardeners?
Mark? Right. Yeah. Yeah. Exactly.
Do you need gardeners?
Yeah. So.
Maybe you do. I don't know what your business
is. Well, if you're a venture capitalist and you come there and you say, well, I've got this great idea and I'm a good software guy, but I don't have anybody to market and I don't have anybody who knows anything about finance, they're not going to give you money.
Why would they?
That's right.
Would you?
No, absolutely not.
Right. No, not at all. Exactly. Not at all. To switch a little bit, let's talk about, again, we're talking a lot about Tampa Bay versus San Francisco, the two barriers, whatever it is. And it's a common... I think it's a very common comparison, and it's a comparison I think every startup scene does. They sort of say, you know, we could be more like Silicon Valley, we could be more like the Bay Area, blah, 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 blah. And there's, I think, legitimately pushback on that that says, well, we can't be Silicon Valley. They have a history, they have a culture that we just, you know, we can't, unless we literally pick up that entire piece of land and move it over here, we're never going to be that.
That's right. Introduce more earthquakes.
yeah, exactly. Yeah, bringing the earthquakes over here.
No. Don't even say that.
Let's not do that. What are the things, and I've been a proponent of saying, you know, we need to focus on what Tampa Bay does well, look at what our strengths are and build on that instead of saying, oh, we want to be like XYZ. You know, we want to have the next Uber, what we want to have the next, whatever it is. What do you think the things are? What are the raw materials that we have here in the Bay Area that are good that we can use? What's unique to this area that we can leverage?
Wow.
Do you think?
Well, I mean, I think we have some very good programmers, but I don't think we have enough of them.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Because every client that I'm working with that wants to do more on their software, it's hard to find people that have time that are capable. And and I think we have some building some prototyping lists. I think we have some really good prototypers now that are around, so they can do a lot of that work initially for hardware-type people. But in general, I don't know what we have that we can specifically build on. I guess, you know, sort of with HealthBox coming in, that's a plus, and maybe the health side of things.
Yep.
But that's such a long turn to make something like that with clinical trials and however you go about it. I really think it's just the people and keeping them here and getting them to play the game.
Right. Keeping them here is a big thing.
It is.
Right, because we have a little bit of a brain drain problem here.
Everybody absolutely believes there's no venture capital here.
Right.
Yeah. Well, we haven't proven them wrong yet.
Yeah, I mean, we've got a history of that happening, but I don't believe that's the case.
Right. Right. Yeah. It's there for the right companies.
I don't think I answered your question, but I don't know what we have here. We have nice water. That's about it.
Well, I mean, we have a great quality of life here. It's certainly a lot better to live here than it would be, I would think, in Boston.
Well, lower cost
people, but
cost of living is a big thing. I mean, even just taking out like all of the other things, like the weather is nice here most of the time. Today it was torrentially raining, but that's just summer in Florida.
Yeah.
You know, but it's more than that. It's the attitude of the people here is different from it is from the way, you know, the kinds of people you would encounter in California. They're a little more conservative here. Mm-hmm. Maybe a little more than a little more conservative.
So, try living in Nashville.
Yeah. Well, I mean,
or Knoxville.
But I guess my confusion on this is like, does that factor in at all? Does the politics? Yeah. Does that factor in?
Probably. I mean, I'm sure it must a little bit. I think that our quality of life is better than most startup communities, but it has to. I mean, I don't believe that most startups are that conservative.
I agree, but I'm really liberal for the most part.
Well, I'm pseudo-conservative, but I'm not ridiculous. So.
Right. Yeah, I don't know. That's interesting. I mean, that would be an interesting podcast, is the political landscape of tech startups.
Yeah.
I'd
have to drink a bottle of bourbon before that one.
Yeah. We don't want to drink during. We need to drink before that. Yes. Just set a level playing field.
Like a day before. I think that there's probably some industry. I mean, we have an upper hand in the defense industry with MacDill here, and we have people like Raytheon and that type of thing here.
There's Honeywell.
Some things there I think that we probably have a stronger healthcare,
with Johns Hopkins and some of the things that's happening.
Yeah, well care and folks like that, that are advantages. I don't know how much we're taking advantage of it, you know.
We're not really.
At all. But I think that there are... It's worth us looking at what the strengths are that we have and saying, okay, here's like what we have. Like, we know that we need to do a better job at forming teams. We know that we need to probably have a better layer of leadership that's more highly involved. It's almost like we need like this big punch list. We just have like, okay, here's all the things that are good. Here's the volume of things that are not where they need to be. Now let's just go fix it.
Right.
But it's not that easy.
I mean...
And part of it's a cooperation problem, ultimately, right?
I think in some ways it is actually that easy. We need somebody to come in and say, no, don't do that. Here's your checklist.
Yeah.
Do this. Check all the boxes on this thing. And when you're at the end, if you haven't raised, you know, $1 million and sold $250,000 in profit, I mean in product, give up.
Right. Go join that guy's startup because he needs a guy on his team.
go get a job at, I don't know, some ambiguously large corporation.
Yeah. It's interesting. Well, this is really fascinating. It's been really great to sit down and hear about your experience out there. I didn't know that you had taken part in Y Combinator, so that was a pleasant surprise.
Well, it was good. It was very informative and educating.
Yeah, that's really... I think it's one of those things that people here just need to keep hearing this refrain over and over again, and eventually we'll get it.
We're going to be the second best next to the San Francisco Bay.
That's right. The other Bay Area.
What Bay Area versus Bay Area.
The Bay Area.
Two Bay Areas showdown. Enter, one Bay Area wins.
That's right.
Thunderdome.
I love it.
I think it's more like Wonderdome.
I love it. Well, before we wrap up here, where can people find more information about the Innovation Center?
You can go online to tbinnovates.com, and that's probably the best place. We have contact information, all our events, and... Or give us a call on the phone numbers on the web.
Yep. Anything coming up you want to give a shout out to?
Just go to everybody's website and attend events.
Yeah.
Network, meet people, and share.
Yeah.
Don't be afraid about sharing because nobody's going to steal your idea.
That's probably, that's something more people need to hear, for sure.
And if you wanted to steal someone else's idea, I mean that totally tongue in cheek. You can meet lots of technologists at...
Three Daughters. Yeah, that's right. Thrown by Collaborative Technologies of Tampa Bay. That's Sylvia Martinez, Murray and Bowers. Their company is throwing a big social for technology people in Tampa on June 19th at Three Daughters Brewings. We will be there.
We will.
And hope to see
there's even
else out there.
Some talk of doing a podcast segment there. It won't be half hour because we won't be interested in sitting down
right.
for that long.
I won't have the attention given my alcohol
but,
level.
yeah.
All right. Cool. JJ, thanks so much for being a part. We really appreciate you being here.
Yeah, thank you for inviting me.
All right. Awesome. Thank you guys for listening. We'll talk to you guys very soon.
Thanks for listening, folks.